Welcome to Chasing Patience, a podcast about navigating through our infertility by speaking out, helping others, and understanding the journey.
Hello and welcome to episode 3 of Chasing Patience. I am Shane.
And I'm Nico.
And we are happy to have you here for this episode. And we're going to be kind of going on a little detour because the last episode we talked about like testing and, you know, kind of what to look for and how to plan for all that stuff to kind of get you with a baseline of I'm not really trying to say it correctly.
Like how your fertility is and if you need to pursue treatments early.
Right. Yeah. There you go. That's thank you. That's what I was trying to say. But yeah, so it's funny because when we were planning this out in terms of what we were going to do or whatever, I mean, and I know we said this too in the first episode as well, where we might do an episode on this and do an episode on that. But for this episode, we're going to be talking about kind of the, I guess, the reactions that you get when you kind of let people know. Like you let it out for the public to know that you're going through infertility and just fertile issues in general.
Yeah, because even though infertility is a common issue, 1 in 8 couples experience infertility in the United States alone. Since it's not widely talked about, there are still a lot of taboo around the subject, and people will make sometimes well-meaning comments or insensitive comments and sometimes even rude comments and downright disgusting comments too.
Yeah.
So I guess we just kind of want to prepare people for that experience. If you're going through infertility and you haven't told anybody yet, maybe just to let you know what you might encounter and how to deal with that.
Yeah, because that's probably, I would think, one of the main reasons why people don't want to let out, let it known for the public to know that they're going through this is because the some of the comments that you'll be getting, because obviously the majority of the people are going to be supporting you and hoping that everything works out for you in the end and all that good stuff. But there's definitely going to be those who, like you were saying, they're well-meaning or they're insensitive, like maybe to themselves or what they're saying doesn't seem like that bad, but to you it's very bad. But then there's those who are they're obviously just trying to be not good, I guess, very bad.
Just rude.
Yeah.
But before we get into that, I just wanted to provide a little update. So I just wanted to thank everybody who donated to our GoFundMe campaign. We had been going through a lot of financial strain regarding our infertility treatments, especially going into the second round of IVF. I think that's one misconception that a lot of people have, that, like IVF is a one-time fix, like you can always do IVF and then you get pregnant right away.
Yeah.
But actually, usually it takes multiple rounds or multiple treatments within IVF to get pregnant. And sometimes it doesn't work at all, unfortunately. So really it's just a baseline. It's just kind of bringing somebody who has infertility issues up to the starting point of somebody else who's completely healthy. So it's not like a guarantee to pregnancy. And each round of IVF or even IUIs and other fertility treatments, like testing and surgeries, especially for male factor infertility, where you have biopsies and microtests and other types of surgery that you might need to go through, a lot of that is extremely expensive and not covered by insurance, just because a lot of insurance doesn't cover fertility stuff. So we're just really grateful that people were willing to help us out in a time of need. And I just wanted to mention that before we get started, since it's something that recently happened.
Yeah, support was incredible, and it was like I wasn't expecting it to be like that. Like I was expecting some, you know, people to support us, whatever, but it was just overwhelming and just, yeah.
Yeah. We're just, it's still in shock basically, yeah. But we're filled with gratitude. So
yeah.
Yeah. Thank you to everyone who helped us out. I guess moving along, we can talk about first maybe people who mean well, but their comment to you comes off as rude or insensitive. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just a perspective thing because kind of from what I've understood is if you haven't gone through this or you don't know anyone personally who's gone through this and watched them go through it, then you probably won't be aware of how your speech or actions affect people who are going through this. Like it's like a unique situation where something that may seem, you know, not harmful at all will make someone, you know, it will ruin their day.
Yeah. And so I guess for well-meaning comments, you know, they, like, what would you think would be a good example of that type of comment?
Well, it's just like the really simple stuff that people don't even think about. Like people who, like, let's say that you're not open about your infertility or you're partially open about it, but not everybody knows. People just constantly asking you, when are you getting pregnant?
Right.
Or if you already have one kid, when are you having a second kid? Mm-hmm. And they don't know that you've been trying and it's like everything that you would want, but you can't make it happen. And so I think people should stop asking like newlyweds that kind of question. Maybe ask them if they want kids instead of if they are having kids soon, if that makes any sense. Yeah. Like it just makes the question different. And then like other questions or other things that could be considered insensitive to people who are going through infertility or is like some people when they come out about it, then the response is, oh, well, it'll happen when it happens. Right. Just relax.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just relax. I'm going to have to go through surgery multiple times, but just right. Relax.
Right. Yeah. And you know, that kind of thing, because what, you know, that person could have been going through, maybe this is their fifth time doing this or however many times they've been doing this. And so when you tell them to kind of just relax and it'll happen when it happens, you know, it's like, I get it. I can understand why they're saying that, I guess, but you know, it's probably the best thing to say.
Yeah. Another common one is like, if you're under the age of 30, then you'll probably get, or even under the age of 35, you'll get, oh, at least you found out early,
mm-hmm.
something like that. Or another one, I don't know why this is like a common thing, but we've gotten this before. People ask you, are you sure you're doing it right?
Yeah, that one's funny because they're like, yeah, maybe you guys aren't having sex right or something. It's like, I guess there are other ways of having sex, like having, you know, intercourse, you know, to, you know, try and conceive a kid. I didn't know that. I guess there are other ways of doing that. Can you help us out there? I mean, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I know, right? The other one that is really common is, well, if you stop trying, then it will just happen. You know, like stop trying so hard and then it will happen. It's like, you don't think we've already tried to do that?
How do you stop trying so hard?
Well, they say like people who are stressed out won't ovulate. Well, that's like where it's coming from. They're thinking like, oh, if you keep trying too hard, you'll put stress on your body and then you won't be able to conceive. But people who have actual like medically diagnosed infertility issues,
yeah,
it doesn't matter whether you're stressed out or not. If you're not ovulating regularly, then you're not going to ovulate. And same with the sperm issue. If it doesn't matter if he's like not stressed out or stressed out, if mm-hmm. you have no sperm in your ejaculate, then it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't understand that comment. Another one that a lot of people say, and I don't understand why you would think this is a good thing to say to someone, like if you've come out about your fertility, is just have fun with it. you're young. It just means you have more sex. It's like, no, 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 no. You don't understand. That means we have to go to the doctor every couple of weeks.
Right. Yeah. And then, you know, like, obviously when you go through surgery, there's going to be times where you can't have sex. So obviously you can't just, oh yeah, just do it whenever, willy nilly, you know?
Yeah. Some of the other worst ones that it's some people may not think that it's bad, but like, for some reason, it's pretty common to get these comments. But the first one is just adopt, or how about you adopt, mm-hmm. or have you thought about adopting? And I have a problem with this for several reasons. First being, I think that everybody biologically like is wired to want to reproduce.
Yeah.
That's just, I mean, like you think about like any species of animal or humans, or even in any like organisms, they feel like their sole purpose is to, like, on a biological level, is to reproduce, right?
Right.
So it is a biological urge to have children in most people. So I don't think that it's wrong to want to pursue that first, mm-hmm. before moving on to other options. So it's kind of insensitive to just say, because a lot of those people who are saying that have never had to think about that. Just like, if you're thinking of saying that to someone who's going through infertility, maybe just stop and think about, would I be okay giving up my genetics and, you know, just on a whim, you know, like just, yeah, just adopt. It's fine. Like, if you're infertile, just adopt.
Yeah. I mean, and for me, since it's my issue, you know, that's something that obviously I've been thinking about a lot, about just, you know, kind of losing that, passing my genes or whatever. And I know for some men, especially, you know, it's not that big of an issue, but there's then others who, like, that's all they really think about, is I want to be able to pass my genes on to my children and all that. So I guess for that type of thing, it's definitely like I get it why they would say, well, just adopt or whatever, because, you know, there's kids out there who don't have a home and all that stuff. So, you know, I get that. Like, I can understand where they're coming from. But at the same time, and as far as I know, adoption is not cheap. And I think that's one of the reasons they think, oh, you can just go to the, you know, it's like, go get some food, just go to the supermarket. There you go, just grab a kid and you're good to go. Pay $10, you're good.
Yeah, or like, you know, the stork will just bring the baby
right
after it's delivered to you, you know?
Yeah.
But no, actually, and I know several people who have gone through the adoption process, and it's more expensive than infertility treatments in some cases. Mm-hmm. Like, adoption of an infant can be between $20,000 to $40,000. And, you know, IVF, the highest price that I've heard of paying is maybe like $25,000. Mm-hmm. And then even if you're going with adoption through foster care, because usually if you bring up the cost, then someone will say, like, well, why don't you just become a foster parent? Mm-hmm. Then you're looking at around $5,000. Just to start with. But the other thing they don't think about with foster care and adoption in general is then you're dealing with a whole other set of issues. Like, whatever you do, like regards to adoption, is not going to fix your fertility. So first you're going to have to grieve the loss of your genes and loss of, you know, creating a baby between you and your husband or you and your wife. So you're going to have to go through that first. Mm-hmm. And then you'll have to be mentally prepared to take care of a child that may have adoption trauma, depending on where they're coming from, especially with foster care, because a lot of the people who are put a lot of the children who are in the foster care system have gone through extreme trauma because their birth parents were not good parents.
Right.
And in a lot of cases, you have to qualify for these type of things. So that means like house checks, home studies, mm-hmm. social workers. It's not just you pick up a kid and you go home and you live a happy life. It's it's a whole other, it's like completely different than dealing with infertility, actually.
Yeah, a whole new set of things you got to deal with.
Yeah, so when people say just adopt, it's like, whoa, like, even if you had the finances to do that, which is like a ridiculous amount of money, then you also have to be mentally prepared to deal with this whole other set of issues. And a lot of people who are going through infertility are still dealing with infertility trauma. So it's hard to get from that mindset to the next mindset. Like, I know a lot of people who end up adopting because of their infertility usually adopt a couple of years later after they've mentally processed everything. And of course that takes a lot of work to do that. So adoption is not for everybody. And I wish people would realize that. I mean, I know there's a need for adoption because of, you know, there's millions of children without homes and being born and unwanted, but it's not just an easy, quick fix for infertility. Anyway, so I guess we'll move on to other comments. Some people will, especially with miscarriages, I haven't been through a miscarriage, so I don't know, and I pray that I don't have to go through that. But I heard a lot of people who went through miscarriage, people will say to them, well, you know, you're only 6 weeks along. At least it wasn't a baby yet. And it's like, excuse me, it wasn't a baby yet.
Yeah.
Even though it has its own set of genes and, you know, like it's a completely separate being from the mother's body and, you know, the person who's been going through infertility and then has a miscarriage has wanted that baby for so long. But no, at least it was only 6 weeks old, so it wasn't a real baby, quote unquote.
Yeah, I don't know. That whole thing is just, I feel like that's kind of like a whole other issue to deal with, you know?
Yeah. Like just the comments that people with miscarriage get is ridiculous.
Because I'm sure for the mom, if they heard that, and well, and I'm sure for the dads too, but especially the moms is the other one that's carrying it. There's like, you know, because when is the first time usually that you go and see that, oh, the heartbeat's there and all that, like, how soon?
6 weeks usually, but sometimes earlier if, if you have a recurrent miscarriage or infertility issues, some people just want to go in and see if what's going on as soon as possible.
Yeah. And usually miscarriages are generally, you know, it's just a natural occurrence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another one that's pretty common that it actually doesn't really bother me, but like I know it bothers other people is they say it's all in God's timing or it's in God's plan. So you just need to be patient. It's irritating to hear that because it's like, okay, but you're not going through it. So how would you know
right. How
I'm feeling? Like, I'm not trying to say that I don't agree with God's plan or anything, but I'm just trying to say that in the waiting period, I am in pain and I'm frustrated and I just want you to understand me. I think that's what people who are going through infertility want their friends and family to understand. They just want them to understand that they're in pain. They don't want them to try to give them advice or, I don't know, try to give them an explanation of why they're infertile. They just want them to understand.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess going off of that, another one that is kind of annoying is giving advice to infertile people or like people who are going through infertility when you know that they've probably been already thinking about that stuff. Like some random person will be like, well, have you tried maca powder? It's like, wow, all right, I'll just go take some maca powder and that'll solve everything. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Cause everyone's dietary needs, especially when it comes to just fertility and everything like that, everyone's going to be different, you know? So like what works for someone else, for someone will not work for someone else, you know? And like, I know for me, example, I took, I don't know how many times.
You took like, you're talking about supplements?
Yeah.
Like you took like tons of supplements and it didn't do any difference because of the syndrome that He has, which right. a lot of people were like asking me about. They were like, well, have you guys like been keto before or have you done right. paleo? And it's like, yeah, well, that's not going to help in the case of a genetic syndrome. So I'm not sure why. Like, I understand the intention is good, but if they would have read what I actually wrote, then they probably wouldn't have said that.
Yeah, that was interesting because people were saying stuff. Yeah, like you could totally tell when they were commenting that they didn't read the story because they, I'm pretty sure you said in that, you know, in the story, whatever, that I have this syndrome or whatever, that basically it's like azoospermia, but it's even rarer, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, and I'm probably jumping ahead, but there was like, this one guy, I just remember now, one guy said, why don't he just nut harder?
Yeah, I know, that's appropriate. Oh, yeah, sick. Just. Oh my
gosh.
Just.
Yeah, I can't nut any harder than I already do. Sorry. Like, I don't know how am I going to be able to control that?
This is getting graphic.
Here. I know, I'm sorry. It was like, how am I going to be able to do that? Like, do you have some plan? Like, do you have some plan or some, is there some like way to do that? Person that said that to me or to you, whoever.
Yeah, they said that to me, but it's like, I don't know, like those people are just insensitive. I guess we can move on to some of the worst, more insensitive comments.
Okay.
Okay, so I have some of them here. Some people may not understand this, but there's a meme going around for the last year and a half, maybe, about like empty egg carton or no eggs, meaning like women who are trying to have kids and they're older.
That just then, but that just screams out that the man has no problem. It's just you. Like to me, when they said no eggs, they're basically saying you have no eggs and so it's your fault.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's a misconception about infertility that it's always a women's issue. Saying, oh, you have no eggs or your eggs are all dried up, blah blah blah. There's just a couple of problems with that. First of all, I'm still young. Second of all, you can get a lower AMH when you're younger, due to like primary ovarian failure or just low AMH in general, other issues. Sometimes, having endometriosis can cause low AMH, stuff like that. So it has nothing to do with waiting too long and you're old, you know. Also, if you're older, you can still get pregnant, like, especially if you're, even if you're over the age of 35, you can still get pregnant with fertility treatments, or even I know people who've gotten pregnant naturally. So egg quality matters way more than egg quantity. Mm-hmm. I know people who've been through IVF and they get 40 eggs in an egg retrieval and none of the embryos survive because their egg quality is bad. Mm. So it has nothing to do with egg quantity. I mean, the quantity improves your chances in IVF.
Right.
But if you're talking about just regular pregnancy, like just getting pregnant the regular way, you're only going to drop one egg a month. So I'm not sure like what the difference of having more eggs or less eggs would make, you know. You better, it would make more sense if you're talking about egg quality. The other thing is that it completely dismisses the fact that men are the infertile partner half the time too. It's not just a women's issue. Just because the woman's carrying the baby doesn't mean that the woman is the one who created the baby. You know, it takes a sperm to create a baby too.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
I know. I thought it was just an egg that, like, you know, matured and then grew up into a baby.
Right. And I thought all I had to do was just, you know, we had sex and there you go, baby. Cool.
Yeah. It had nothing to do with the sperm or anything.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Anyway.
Yeah. That's what I just mentioned before.
Yeah.
Maybe first.
Another one that's really, I don't know if it's just misled or if it's insensitive, but it really bothered me was if you can't afford to get pregnant, you shouldn't be allowed to have a child, or you don't deserve to have a child. And it's like, okay, so you have, you know, a couple $100,000 just laying around for fertility treatments.
Right.
You have, I don't know, $12,000 per round just lying around.
No, and look, I'm not, I guess to kind of sort of be fair, maybe they're saying, well, you should have had a better savings plan or something like that. I don't know. I guess I can kind of understand where they're coming from with that. But yeah, like why would someone randomly, oh yeah, I have like, I got $50,000 laying around. I'm good. I got this in the bag, you know?
Well, also, even if you did have $50,000 lying around and you went through a couple of rounds of IBF, and then you hit, I don't know, after your fourth round or something, and then you didn't have any money left, and then someone yeah. says that to you, it's right. like, excuse me?
Right.
Like, we didn't have money before? Also, I don't know. It's just like, people who get pregnant the normal way don't have thousands and thousands of dollars lying around either.
Yeah, people, yeah, like, yeah. Exactly.
And it doesn't even cost that much. People have this misconception that kids cost a lot. It will cost as much as you make it cost.
Yeah.
There are people, I mean, just look back in history, like people had children, like five or six children, and they were poor farmers and mm-hmm. stuff. And their kids still grew up fine, and you know, there are grandparents and our parents and things like that now. So I don't know, I just think that it's a misconception that if you don't have thousands of dollars lying around, like, to pay for IVF rounds, then you shouldn't be allowed to have a kid.
Yeah, that one's kind of was, yeah, because when we were doing, like we were saying before at the beginning, for all the people that were supporting us and donating to our campaign and all that good stuff, that was one of the comments that we kind of saw, and we were just like, wow, that's, you know, like, of all of the ones I think that we got, that one was the one why I thought about the most, because I was just thinking, wow, that they put the time and effort to say that, because they could have just let it go. They could have just, maybe they could have just, I don't know, shared it or something like that. But instead they said, well, you know, I can't believe you're doing this campaign for people to give you money for, you know, for your infertility and all this stuff. But how am I supposed to know that you guys are even going to be able to raise the child if you're, because what if you want to have another campaign? Oh, you want to, hey, give us more money forever if you want to raise a kid or whatever. And it's like, that's not the intention there. Like, this isn't what we're trying to do. We're trying to like help with our medical bills and all this stuff, because, you know, even with insurance, it can still get pretty crazy.
Yeah. So. And he's had three surgeries this year. Surgeries cost a lot of money. The bills are split between the physician and the facility and the anesthesiologist. And then he also had complications earlier where, you know, he had to go back to the hospital twice. So it's been pretty bad. And I know that a lot of people who are dealing with infertility have this issue where, you know, you don't know how you're going to pay for your meds, or you don't know how you're going to pay for a transfer or storage for embryos, because they don't cover storage for embryos or eggs or sperm. There's just so many things that go into infertility treatments that aren't covered that a normal person wouldn't have in their savings. Also, I'd like to point out that if you saved a lot of money before you even started trying, and you were saving that for your child, like maybe a college fund or like, mm-hmm. you know, just an expense fund for baby stuff, you could save up a couple $1,000s and then go through that super quick if you end up having to have infertility. And then it's like, well, now I don't look financially responsible because I had all this money saved up, but now it's gone because I had to spend it on infertility treatments. Whereas my friend who just had a baby naturally, she has all this money saved up because she didn't have to do any of the treatments or surgeries. Mm-hmm. So I just think that it's a really insensitive and bad comment if you feel the need to ask someone that.
It's like you have to spell out every single thing for people to, you know, to kind of let them know, because if they ask a question, you know, they say, okay, this is everything that we're going to be able to say about all this, okay, here you go, and they go, okay, well, here's a question and all that stuff. Like, if it's a legit question, like, oh, what is that, I didn't know that men have infertility issues, but how does that happen, or what's the deal with that, you know, that kind of thing. But then asking about our financial situation, like, I guess if that person decides they're going to have a child, I guess I should go with them and be like, so do you have the money to have for this kid? Did you save up some money for this kid? Like, what's going on there?
Yeah. I mean, I hope that nobody has to encounter that type of comment online or in real life, because it's just like, how do you even answer that? Like, do we have to go through our whole medical history now? Like, I'm not sure what they expect me to say.
Yeah, let me just get my doctor and let him tell you what my diagnosis was and what.
Yeah, let me go to just get all of the records of my medical bills that I'm still paying, so we can figure this out.
Exactly.
And then I'll go get my financial records and, you know, we'll see how much I saved up and how much we spent. And then I'll let you know, random person.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on from that, I guess one of the worst things that you can say to someone, and I know this seems to be like a religious thing, but they say it wasn't meant to be. You weren't meant to be a parent.
Oh, well,
if you're infertile, then you know that's just the way God made you, you know? Like, that's it. Not allowed to use infertility treatments because it's a sin. Heard that a couple of times from Christians. Mostly, and I'm a Christian, but I'm not Catholic. And I know there are Catholics who don't believe this, but some of the Catholics have told us straight up that IVF is killing babies because some embryos may not survive through pregnancy, even though that happens naturally too.
Yeah, I'm right.
And also, for the record, if we do get lucky enough to have more than one embryo, then obviously we're going to use all of our embryos. We're not going to like destroy them or anything, because we personally believe that life begins at conception. So, but yeah, like, I'm not sure why anyone would feel the need to tell someone that, especially if how would you feel if that happened to you? Like, oh, that's just the end of the road for you. Sorry, you can't fulfill your biological want and need to have children. But, you know, I guess that's just how God made you. So that's it.
Well, then let's go adopt.
Oh, yeah. You can just go adopt. Yeah. And sorry, you're financially irresponsible if you don't have $50,000 lying around for the adoption fees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know. Yeah. I don't know. Some of that. Yeah. Because there's one person that I remember. They were trying to like plead with you. They're like, please do not do this. Don't do IVF. Please.
And it's like, dude, just calm down. And some of them were citing statistics saying that embryos will die if they are frozen, which is not true. Actually, they are more likely to survive a transfer if they're frozen, according to my reproductive specialist that we're seeing, which is why we'll be doing a frozen transfer whenever we have embryos. But yeah, I don't know where they're getting this information from. Like, who spends their time, if they're not infertile, who spends their time going around like researching this? It's people who want to have children. It's not like we're trying to have an abortion or something.
Right.
Like, I'm not sure like what the end game is here. Don't let people have kids.
Yeah, and you've gotten into some discussions with other Catholics, and it was a pretty good, I think, cordial, respectable type of discussion. You know, it kind of ended positively. Like, okay, well, I understand where you're coming from, and I hope everything works out for you. You know,
yeah.
Instead of just the blatant, you know, please don't do this. You did. You're
sinning.
Yeah, you're sinning. You don't.
You're going to go to hell
because this is just the way you were made, like you're saying.
Yeah. So. And some people are like, well, why can't you just do it the natural way? Just try natural treatments. Yeah, because herbs are gonna fix a genetic syndrome. Right. Sure. We'll just keep trying for 10 years and you know, what will happen.
Yeah, we've been trying even before that, we were trying naturally.
Yeah.
Even before all the stuff that we learned, you know, about the infertility and all that, we were trying naturally, you know, and then nothing was going on. And that's the reason why we're thinking, well, especially you're thinking, oh, let's just see what's going on because, you know, it hasn't happened yet. So I want to know what's happening. So yeah. Because of the fact that we were trying naturally, quote unquote, naturally, whatever, you know, we were actually, you know, doing all that stuff, whatever. And because you weren't getting pregnant, you're thinking, oh, something's going on here. So let's get tested. And lo and behold, here we are. So because of the fact that we were trying naturally was the reason, probably one of the things, you know, the reason why we're here now is at least we know more about what's going on.
It's not like anyone chooses to do IVF like as their first choice. Like, oh yeah, that's, instead of doing it naturally, I would totally rather someone, you know, do an egg retrieval surgery on me. And, you know, I'll just spend a month injecting myself 4 times a day. Like, that sounds like fun to me.
Yeah. And then for me, you know, I'd love to have my balls opened up and, you know, not be able to walk for, you know, for a week or two and have to wear a jock strap and all that good stuff. And, you know, especially the first couple of days, it's bleeding and all the good stuff.
Yeah, I know. It sounds so fun, right?
Yeah, it's numb and all that. You can't, you know, like even just wearing shorts and pants is uncomfortable. It's like, yeah, I totally want to do that. It sounds like an awesome time. Yeah, sign me up.
Yeah, I don't think people think this stuff through before they say this.
Oh, and also I faint the next day, and I have to go, you know, I hit my head on the wall and all that stuff, and then I get like a massive headache and a migraine because of the medicine that I was taking. Oh, yeah, that sounds great. Can you please sign me up for that? Can't sign me up faster.
Yeah, I think we should probably get into the microtesty stuff next week because
yeah,
there's so much to talk about with that. Well, anyway, I guess we should move on to how to deal with these comments. And
yeah,
to be honest, in the beginning, when I first started talking about infertility openly and I started getting some of these comments, it really did affect my mental state because it was reaffirming what I was already thinking in my head about maybe I don't deserve to be a mother, or, you know, maybe it was meant to be. Maybe I'm just, you know, this is just how it's going to be and I'm going to have to accept it. Things like that. Or maybe I do have to go and move on to adoption, even though I'm not even nearly mentally or emotionally ready to even think about that.
It's not like we're going into politics where you're expecting people to talk bad about you all the time or, you know, whatever. This is a completely different game, you know?
And it's a very vulnerable thing to talk about.
Yeah.
Which is why a lot of people don't want to talk about it. Because I know a lot of people personally who don't talk about it openly, but they tell me personally about what they're going through. And I respect that because we were silent about it to even friends and family for probably like 6 months.
Something like that.
We only told our parents in the beginning, and that was it. So, and it's even though getting those comments is really hurtful, especially in the beginning when you're kind of raw about it, I think honestly the positive response kind of makes up for the negative response in a way.
Yeah.
And it also, you feel like you have something off your chest that you're allowed to talk about it because you allow yourself to feel like you're being honest with everybody. Because when you're dealing with infertility and you're being silent about it, it's like you have to hide a huge part of your life. Like something that's taking up so much of your time and your thoughts, and you can't talk about it to anyone. It starts to get really depressing. I remember feeling suicidal almost at some points when we weren't talking about it, because it's like I have to pretend like everything's okay and I can't talk about it. So in a way, like the positives outweigh the negatives. Even though you probably will get some mean or insensitive comments from friends, family, or random people if you talk about it online. You get a thick skin.
Yeah.
When you hear the same comments over and over again about adoption and stuff like that. And then you kind of have to realize that people just don't understand, and the only way they're going to understand is if you talk about it more.
Yeah, and the people you were mentioning earlier about how they'll tell you personally, but they won't talk about it publicly. They'll probably see the things that we're getting, you know, online or whatever, and they go, "Well, yeah, this is why I don't want to say anything right now, because I'm probably gonna get stuff like this too. So I'm good. I don't want to, you know, I'm not ready yet for that type of."
Well, actually, when we posted our whole story about our infertility story recently, and then we're asking for donations for our medical bills. Some people below in the comments, because this was online and everything, some people were coming out even though they were not open about it before, saying like, "Oh, actually, I'm going through IVF," or "I'm going through the same thing," or "We went through the same thing a couple of years ago," and they were feeling like it was okay to talk about because I'm talking about it. So I feel like the more people who talk about it, the less mean comments will affect you.
Yeah. Cause it'll seem more of like, I don't know if this is the right way to say it, but it'll seem more normal, I guess.
Yeah. We'll normalize it.
Right.
Because if you think about it, it is kind of a big deal. Like 1 in 8 couples, that's a lot of people. But no one's talking about it because they feel like they're not allowed to talk about it because they're afraid of getting mean comments.
And there were men. There were a lot of men that I'm thinking off the top of my head that were like, saying, oh yeah, you know, like you're saying, I went through this and all that. And I was just like, wow, that's crazy. Like a lot of men were coming out talking about it.
Yeah. And some women were saying that their husbands were going through it too. Mm-hmm. And some other people were saying that they were going through IVF or they had been through IVF. And some people said they had succeeded or didn't succeed, but adopted, things like that. But they hadn't talked about it up until now,
yeah,
like online. So yeah, I think it's a good thing to push through and talk about it because number one, for your own mental health, because keeping quiet about it, keeping quiet about such a big topic in your life that's taking over a lot of your thoughts, mm-hmm, is really unhealthy. I know it's such a personal issue, but it is really unhealthy to not talk about that kind of stuff because you'll bottle it up and then you'll think about it too much without getting any outside perspective on, you know, that people actually will support you and they will love you and try to help you in any way that they can.
Yeah. And you'll feel more alone if you don't speak out about it. You know, like this, like just doing this podcast has been, has definitely been helpful for me, especially, you know, trying to talk about it more and just kind of hearing what you have to say as well, kind of just listening and everything like that. I think, you know, obviously I'm going to have days where it's not going to, you know, and everyone has those days where it's just not a good day. You know, everyone's just going to have that. But for the most part, it's definitely been, lethargic. I think that's the right word. Or healing, I guess, in a way.
You mean therapeutic?
Yeah, therapeutic.
Lethargic. Lethargic means like that you don't feel like doing anything and you're tired.
Oh, oops. Sometimes English gets away from me. Anyway, but therapeutic is that's what I was trying to say. Yeah. It's just been, helpful and kind of hearing people's responses too about, listening to the podcast and us sharing the story, like we were saying before, and everyone coming out and just supporting us and them coming out about their story. It's been pretty incredible. And, you know, obviously if you had told me this was going to happen a year ago, obviously I wouldn't have, I thought you were joking, but anyway, we'll go ahead and end it there. And I know you've mentioned it before, but I think the next episode we're going to be talking about the microtesi or microtes, however you want to pronounce it.
Yep. And how to prepare for it. Because there's a lot of things that we didn't know the first time. So we just want to talk about it because nobody seems to, like, I tried to look up this stuff and I couldn't find anything about it. So hopefully this will help somebody if you're thinking of going through a microtesi or a testicular biopsy. Even if you're going through a testicular biopsy for another reason, mm-hmm, it's good to know this stuff.
Yeah, for sure. So anyway, I hope this helps with helping you try to get through some of the comments that you'll get, because you will get a majority of those will be positive and will help support you and everything like that. But I think with anything, you're probably going to get some negative comments. And so that's the main reason why we wanted to do this, because we got it too. So we want to let you know, hey, we got this, and other people have gotten it as well. So we want to help you get through it and kind of just help with your emotional state and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, those negative comments really, you know, the positive ones are the ones that you really should be focusing on, because those are the ones that will help you. Because if you just focus on the negative ones, that's not going to help you. It's going to make things worse.
Yeah. You're going to have this confirmation bias in your mind of like, maybe I'm not meant to be a parent, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
When in reality, it's just one person telling you that. And the other 99% of people are supporting you and in supporting your decisions and will be there for you in hard times. So,
yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of this, definitely solidified a lot of those things. So, so with that, yeah, we'll go ahead and end this episode and, we will see you in the next one.
All right. Bye.